The next case up for oral argument this morning is Pesca Properties versus Northern Rental Corp. Casey Oliver is appearing on behalf of and arguing on behalf of the appellant, and Kent Cutler appears and argues on behalf of Appalese. Each side will have 15 minutes to present your initial arguments, and then there'll be Ms. Oliver, you'll have 5 minutes for a rebuttal. With that, Ms. Oliver, you can proceed with your initial argument.
May it please the court, Chief Justice Jensen, counsel. After the breach of a lease agreement, and when a landlord has exercised reasonable diligence to mitigate its damages, then under South Dakota law, as the aggrieved party, the landlord can recover all of its remaining damages proximately caused by the breach. This case raises three main issues. First, whether the trial court erred in finding that Pesca Properties failed to mitigate its damages. Second, whether the trial court erred in its calculation of contract damages. And third, whether the trial court erred in denying Pesca Properties attorney's fees and finding that it was not the prevailing party after entering judgment in its favor. South Dakota law imposes on a party injured from another's breach of contract the active duty of a reasonable exertion to render the injury as light as possible. In this case, the facts were primarily undisputed. 2 years prior to the subsequent lease agreement, in the early spring area, Willis and Northern Rental had determined that they no longer wanted to use the premises at issue in this case. They let that property sit vacant for about a year before determining that they wanted to sublease the property. They hired Jay-Z, a realtor with RE/MAX out of Sioux Falls. Jay-Z put out marketing materials. He advertised the property was for rent. Pesca Properties noted that there was for rent signs on the premises. The property sat vacant for an entire year without another tenant making an offer to sublease the premises. In the fall, Pesca Properties approached Northern and Willis Rental and said, "Why don't you try a different real estate agent? We're not having any luck with Jay-Z. I've had luck with Bill Connolly in the past. He may be able to get you a renter on the premises." He also marketed the property, had for rent signs on the premises, and it sat vacant for 6 months before another tenant, only one, made an offer on the property. The first offer was made by Radco, also known as Mills Aftermarket. Their first offer on the property was for $589 a square foot for the remainder of the Northern and Willis term, which at that time they were assuming was about 29 months, and $11 a square foot for an extended term. It's important because this property was retrofitted to that franchise, which was Aaron's Rental, run by Willis and Northern, and they needed to do a significant amount of build out. And they didn't want the property for the short amount of time that was remaining on the lease agreement unless they could also have an extended term. What is important is on June 28th of 2019, Radco's real estate agent emailed the real estate agent for Pesca Properties in Willis and Northern, which was Bill Connolly at that time, after they had been negotiating back and forth, and said they were sticking at $843 a square foot for the remainder of the Willis and Northern term. It's the most they would do. They were willing to offer $11 a square foot for an extended term. They wanted 3 months of free rent, and they wanted $25,000 in build-out costs. Bill Connolly testified on behalf of Steve Willis and Gene Pesca as their real estate agent that Pesca Properties did everything they could to negotiate on the property, that he always saw Gene Pesca as the CEO of Pesca Properties working hard to find a new tenant and to mitigate the damages. Willis, as also Bill Connolly's they were in a contract he also represented, Willis said never said that he disagreed with the lease, And even Steve Willis admitted under oath that he saw Pesca Properties always working to mitigate their damages. However, he disagreed with the way that damages were calculated. On the record, in light of all of these things, the trial court stated, "I don't think that Pesca Properties was reasonable in his effort to mitigate damages because it wasn't reasonable to break up the lease the way that he did." However, in the same paragraph, the trial court also said on the record that he recognized that they weren't going to get a better deal on the property. And that's why, even over the objection of counsel, Willis and Northern kept trying to say, "We were trying to go to mediation. We thought we would negotiate the best deal on the property with the subtenant, and we wanted you to reduce your damages on the back end to give us, as the contract breaker, a benefit." The court, in its analysis, confused mitigation efforts with mediation, finding that you could negotiate the best deal on the front end, but that it's unreasonable for you not on the back end to compromise what you are owed. This goes directly against our statute at 21-2-1, which says for the breach of an obligation arising out of contract, the measure of damages, except where otherwise specified by the code, is the amount which will compensate the aggrieved party for all the detriment proximately caused thereby, or which in the ordinary course would result therefrom. When we are looking at a measure of damages, one, we assert that the trial court was clearly erroneous in its findings of fact that Pesca Properties was not reasonable in their efforts to mitigate damages.
Let me interrupt you there for a moment. So he said that in his oral ruling, but then in his findings of fact, he didn't make those same findings. What he said in the findings of fact was that was slightly different. So it's for me why you think that he persisted in it, even though it wasn't included in his findings of fact.
Thank you, Your
conclusions.
Honor. Thank you, Your Honor. The findings of fact and conclusions of law were actually drafted by opposing counsel, and the court signed them verbatim without making any changes to them. So I think in this case, we have to go back and we have to look at what the trial court actually said in its oral findings to see why he reached the conclusion he reached. If he's saying, "I'm compromising your damages, I'm reducing your damages because you failed to mitigate," we have to look at the reasoning that he expressed on the record as to why he said we failed to mitigate damages.
But the judge didn't incorporate his oral ruling into his findings of fact and conclusions of law. He entered new findings of fact and conclusions of law. Isn't it equally likely that he simply changed his mind and adopted the recommendations related to mitigation of damages that were made in the proposed findings by your opposing counsel?
Thank you, Your Honor. I don't think so. So when we're looking back at the record and we're looking at why the trial court reached that mitigation, in the findings of fact and conclusions of law, they were very light on why the court found that he didn't mitigate damages. And it says that it goes into the benefits. And the court feels that because Pesca Properties, in a way, received a benefit, that he had failed to mitigate his damages because it noted a discrepancy in why there was that increased amount of rent on the back end for the later months. But what we're doing is then we're looking at the extended term and we're failing to realize that's the most Radco was willing to pay. They said it in their email, which was admitted into evidence. Everybody testified that that's the most they were willing to pay. So the trial court finding that there was a discrepancy on why it was lower on the initial months versus higher on an extended term, when you have an escalator that could deal with market fluctuations, we see that that was an error in that finding. And when the trial court talks about its benefits and the benefits that Pesca got because of this breach, those arguments fail for several reasons. The first argument that the trial court made was that the value to the property was increased by having a tenant. This court has already denied the use of the property value and using that valuation in a calculation for breach of contract that does not involve a condemnation, the sale of the property, or a taking. And they denied that in Lamar Advertising. Additionally, if the argument is having a long-term tenant in this space adds value to the premises, then the equal and opposite is true, that by allowing the property to sit vacant and breaching the lease agreement, Willis and Northern actually devalued the property, and by finding a subsequent tenant, they brought it back to baseline. Additionally, it draws on speculation, and this court has also said that we cannot speculate in our calculation of damages. And it is the speculation that Pesca Properties, given the additional time left on Willis and Northern's lease agreement, wouldn't have been able in the future to find a different tenant that would have been willing to pay more on that property or would have agreed to different terms. The trial court also found that Pesca Properties benefited by having Pesca Construction do the build-out. It's important to create the distinction here. Pesca Construction is a separate corporation, a separate entity. It was not brought into this case by opposing counsel, and there was no financials that were introduced on Pesca Properties, Pesca Construction. So just because they share the same CEO, the trial court is finding that a separate entity has somehow gained a financial benefit. Additionally, the trial court found that Pesca Properties was benefited by using build-out materials that had been left behind by Willis and Northern. This fails under the plain language of the lease agreement under paragraph 25, which states that the tenant has the right to remove its alterations from the premises, but what is left behind reverts in title to the landlord. So they abandoned the premises, they left these items in the lease space, and now they are arguing that they should get a set off in damages for the property they abandoned.
Did the court make a finding that this was an effort by Pesca and Radco to, in some way, frustrate the ability to mitigate damages or to, increase the damages for Willis and Northern Rental? Is that part of the case? I mean, that's kind of the subtext, that there is a concerted effort by two of these parties in this three-party relationship, four, Willis and Northern are two, but three. The subtext is sort of that there was this effort to freeze them out, make this rent artificially low for the remainder of the Willis lease, only to increase it above the market rate after that lease expired. Is that supported? I don't know that it's significant. I think the mitigation principles would require mitigation regardless, but I'm just trying to figure out if that's part of the record in this case or not. I couldn't really find it.
You make a really good point, Your Honor. Actually, that is a finding that the trial court made without evidence being admitted on that fact. It's important to remember that mitigation of damages is an affirmative defense for which Willis and Northern bore the burden of proof on that issue. They didn't provide any evidence that Co was willing to pay more, that Radco could pay more. There was no evidence or testimony that Gene Pesca in any way tried to do anything wrong, that he tried to increase the amount for himself while reducing the amount that Willis and Northern would owe. In fact, the testimony was the exact opposite, that he was doing everything he could to mitigate the damages and make them as low as possible. And what is equally important is Willis's own statements on the record that in the summer of 2019, he had been part of the negotiations of this lease agreement. He had been informed as to what was going on. And then in the middle of negotiations, he provided a letter that said this was a great lease. The landlord should enter into this lease agreement. He considered all of their obligations were done and that he was terminating lease agreement and wasn't going to make any more payments under that agreement.
If we take the affirmative defense out of the equation here, why couldn't the court just applying the general rules with regard to contract damages reach the same result here, even if the court did not find that there was that Pesca did not, or that failed to mitigate damages? Why doesn't the calculation here still work in looking at the overall picture of making Pesca whole?
Because Pesca isn't made whole. And the answer to your question, Your Honor, is that our statute says that he has to be put in the same position as if there had been no breach. And he's not. There is still $55,000 that was remaining between his lease, between the Radco lease, and what Willis and Northern would owe. So by reducing the damages down, giving a blended rate, speculating what that blended rate could be, and reducing the actual damages, the landlord hasn't been made whole. So as at the end of the day, even if we do find and we assert that he did, he properly mitigated damages, he hasn't been made whole based on this average blended rate that the trial court used.
So you're essentially drawing a definitive line as to when the end of the original lease would have occurred rather than allowing the court to look at the big picture and the benefit of the new extended lease. You think that's inappropriate?
I think, Your Honor, if you try to take a look at the extended term and that extended lease, you're including speculation into your calculation of damages, because then we can operate and we can open up at any point in time. If, say, he had negotiated with Radco, hey, I am just going to do this till the end of the term, and they had come back maybe in a year and said, now we want to extend further, then that opens up for speculation. Is could the trial court then go back and say, well, now we have to recalculate damages because you're getting a benefit of this tenant now staying long term? So by calculating damages using this blended rate, we are in essence incorporating speculation into the calculation, which this court has held you cannot do. I see my time has expired. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Olin. Mr. Cutler, you may proceed with your argument.
May it please the court, counsel, Kent Cutler for Northern Rental Corporation. Judge Hoffman made the correct decision in this case by using the blended rate in calculating contract damages, considering the undisputed facts, and applying the law that contract damages must be reasonable under SDCL 21-1-3, that they must be clearly ascertainable in both their nature and origin under SDCL 21-2-1, and that damages must put the non-breaching party in a position as good as, but not better than, full performance under SDCL 21-1-5.
Would you agree that based on the decision that Judge Hoffman entered, that Pesca Properties is not receiving the same amount of rent that it would have received over the course of the original lease?
That's a true statement, Your Honor, that Pesca Properties would not be receiving the exact same amount of rent if you just look at this case in a box and compare the 27 months remaining on Northern Rentals lease and the amount of rent due under that lease and reducing it by the $8.43 a square foot that Radco is going to pay during that entire 27-month period of time.
And then I assume you would also agree that if Judge Hoffman had applied the calculations proposed by Pesca Properties, that they would have received exact compensation for the rent that they would have received under the original lease term.
If Judge Hoffman had adopted Pesca's damage calculation, Your Honor, they would have been placed in a better position than they would have been under full performance of the Northern Rentals lease, as they were going to receive about a fair market rental for the additional 55-month term. Bill Conley, who is Gene Pesca's longtime realtor, who testified he had done at least one substantial deal for Mr. Pesca in each of the prior 10 years, testified that the fair market rental range for that location at that point in time was $9 to $10.50 a square foot at best. And Pesca Properties negotiated a deal with Radco where they were going to get $11 for those extended 55 months. So if you take Mr. Conley's testimony and you say 1050 was the very best, which is his terminology, then Pesca Properties at a minimum is getting 50 cents more a square foot during that extended 55-month term than they should have otherwise based on what the fair rental rate was. So that gets to where blended rate came into play. And Your Honor, not only had we presented this blended rate in our damage exhibit, which is Exhibit I, but I'd never talked to Bill Conley before the trial. I did not take his deposition. I did not know what his answers were going to be. And Bill Conley, when I asked him this question, I said, well, Mr. Conley, why would it be that Radco would agree to pay an above-market rental rate for the last 55 months of this new lease? His testimony in response was, well, Mr. Cutler, it's because they look at it as a blended rate. he testified that's how Radco was looking at it, as a blended rate. They were looking at what their rental obligation would be over the course of that lease. And so Mr. Conley was the only expert that testified in this case. And Judge...
Is that enough? I'm sorry to interrupt you. But is that enough for Judge Hoffman to, you know, infer from that that PESCA has either negligently or intentionally acted to increase and heighten the damages? Judge Hoffman's the fact finder.
Sure.
But is that enough for him, or is that speculative for him to think that, well, just the fact that you have this lull period that's then, you know, graduates, that's not enough, and the fact finder, how does that work?
Sure. Well, I think when you look at that, and whether you call it mitigation or you just call it calculating reasonable damages, there's several facts that are kind of relevant. You get back to the negotiations that were going on between Mr. PESCA and the representatives from Radco. And Ms. Olivier went through those negotiations, so I don't want to belabor them, but there was initial offer and there was a response by Mr. PESCA, and it was, we'll do $950 during the balance of the northern rental term, and we'll do $11 a square foot during the extended term. The response from Radco, they came back at $843 during the northern rental corp term and reduced the extended term to $10.50 a foot. That was their response. Gene PESCA goes back to them, and the response then was to not do anything with the northern rental side of the equation, but to go back up to $11 a foot on the extended term above the fair market rental rate, at which point they accepted that. And so I think when you look at the course of those negotiations, then the other part of it is, if you look at the structure just of this lease, you have $8.43 a square foot as the number that the PESCA believes that should offset the rent due from Northern Rental. But on the very month of the extended term, the very first month of the extended term, the rent jumps 30% to $11 a square foot. And I would submit just that is a very unlikely scenario in most lease situations to have that type of a bump. And then
there evidence in the record that said that's an unlikely scenario, or is that just sort of your analysis?
I don't recall that there was any specific testimony to that effect, but I may be mistaken. And it would likely be in Bill Conley's testimony if that was testified to during the trial.
I interrupted you, so I'll interrupt you one more time.
Sure.
On the question of attorney's fees before your time gets away. Was there any issue before the court besides the request by PESCA for the entire amount of the rent and your, I don't want to say offer, but your presentation that this is the blended rate?
Right.
Was there any other issue in the trial?
No, Your Honor. Northern Rental didn't contest the breach, didn't contest that there was damages. It was just the proper measure of damages.
And then in the course of that, did you, other than presenting your offer and disputing their damages, did you present different models of damages, or did you just present one model?
Yeah, we both had one exhibit. Ours was Exhibit I, and PESCA Properties exhibit was Exhibit 10, I believe, and those were the damage proposals that both of us submitted to the court.
And did the court adopt your damages fully?
Yes, essentially. I mean, it wasn't exactly, but there were two issues, really, because there was a non-acceleration provision in this lease, Justice Jensen. So the question was, what are the past damages, which Judge Hoffman found almost exactly to our proposal. It was right at $36,000. I can't give you the exact number. And then going forward, the monthly difference that Judge Hoffman settled on was a bit more than our proposal, but certainly less than PESCA's proposal. And overall, Your Honor, the judge's decision, the judgment in this case, was significantly closer to the proposal made by Northern Rental Corp in Exhibit I than it was to PESCA Properties' proposal in Exhibit 10. And the Brown case, which they signed, the Stern Oil versus Brown case, that they cite for the proposition that if the verdict's entered for you, then you get attorney's fees. That was our case, Your Honor. I tried that case, and that case was a much different case. I think this is kind of what you might have been driving at with your question. But in that case, Brown had defenses that he was fraudulently induced into the contract, and he claimed that the contract was unenforceable, and there were all kinds of affirmative defenses. And Stern Oil won on all of those issues and secured at the second trial a $240,000 or $60,000 verdict. And in that case, this court did say clearly Stern Oil was the prevailing party. In this case, if you look at it, arguably, I would submit to this court that Northern Rental Corp was the prevailing party. We both went in with where we thought we were on this thing, and the court nearly adopted the proposal that we had presented to the court.
I want to take you back to reasonableness of damages real quickly. So it's clear that the judge was taking into account in some way in his analysis this idea that Pesca Properties got some benefit on the in valuation of its property. He said in findings that you proposed, I believe, that the value of the property was increased because of increased traffic and various other things, correct?
Yeah.
And your opposing counsel points out that we have the Lamar case.
Yeah.
Your response?
Yeah. Your Honor, I don't think that was driving the court's decision in this case. I think the court did find a whole lot of benefits to Pesca Properties based on Mr. Conley's testimony. I mean, he's the one that testified about all these things. But I think the driving thing for the court was the fact that we had this, the way the lease was structured, you had the 30% jump, and the fact that Pesca Properties was going to get above fair market rental during the extended term, while Pesca Properties expected that Northern Rental Corp was just to accept lower below market rent during the remainder of its term and to live with it. And that was the issue. And Bill Conley was very clear on that. And then he talked about the blended rate and that was how at least Radco was looking at that lease. And so you look at that, and then you go back to the negotiations. Well, so why would Radco go and say on the last round of negotiations, we're going to stay at 843 on the 27-month term, but we'll add an extra 50 cents a foot to the 55-month term? Well, it would have had the same financial effect on them if they'd added essentially a dollar on the 27 months and stayed at the 1050 on the 50 months, which was the high fair market rental. And so I think there were also things like that occurred that you know, a court could surmise that there was something going on in the background. The other thing I would point this court to, which I think is fairly interesting, but on page 5 of the appellant's brief, they set forth this first proposal that Radco made on this property. And interestingly enough, one of the terms in their proposal was that Aaron's Northern Rental Corp shall pay $72,624 plus $32,635 for a total of $105,259 to the landlord to be released from the current lease. How in the heck would Radco even know about that? And how would they calculate that and put that in an LOI if there weren't discussions going on in the background that we weren't parties to about our lease and the effect of our lease? And so look at all those things. And I think it was reasonable for the court, first of all, using the statutes that go to reasonableness, go to putting Pesca Properties in the same position, but no better position than wouldn't have been in otherwise. And that the damages have to be readily ascertainable as to their origin and nature. I think there was more than abundant evidence for the court to do what it did. And we're also, this is a clearly erroneous standard in this case. This court is not to substitute its judgment for the trial court unless you're firmly convinced that the decision is clearly erroneous. And in this case, I would submit to the court that Judge Hoffman, in considering the totality of this replacement lease, the fact that, you know, Northern Rentals could have stood in the way and refused to terminate their lease. They were current on it until this LOI came. They could have continued to pay rent, and Pesca wouldn't have gotten this lease. And who knows at the end of Northern Rentals' lease whether he got another tenant or he would have sat with it empty for 2 or 3 years. But no, he now had the guarantee of a strong tenant who was going to pay above fair market rent for an additional 55 months.
But he's a landlord. And there's a part of this case that seems to pervade the whole arguments, which is, why would Willis as a tenant get to participate in that part of the lease that extends beyond his original lease? He's not the landlord. He doesn't own this piece of property. He would have no expectation that he could participate in that upside at all.
But Pesca Properties, Your Honor, could not have gotten that additional 55 months from Radco or anybody else at that time for a couple of reasons. First of all, we had 27 months left on our lease, and there were 3 5-year options to extend that lease. So the only way that Pesca Properties could enter into this lease, which was very beneficial to Pesca Properties, I think during the trial it became very clear that this was a very good lease for Pesca Properties, particularly on the back end. But none of that could have happened but for Northern Rentals Cooperation saying, we'll get out of the way. And yes, there are benefits to Northern Rentals. We were going to get some reduction on what we were going to have to pay during the balance of that lease, clearly. But to look at this in a box like Pesca Properties want to and say you can only look at that 27 months and you can only reduce it by the actual rent paid is not what it requires. And I would submit to this court, take the same facts, but for, let's say that Radco agreed to pay $1 a square foot during the remainder of Northern Rentals' term and agreed to pay $16 a square foot during the extended term. I don't think anybody would not look at that and say, that's unreasonable, that's wholly unfair. We need to figure out what the real reasonable damages are. Now, this is a closer case, but I don't believe that Judge Hoffman committed clear error in using the blended rate, particularly when that was testified to about the real estate expert that testified during the trial in this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Gutman.
Thank you.
Ms. Oliver, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal. And I'll just ask you as you start the same question about attorney's fees. Was there any issue besides damages and the result? Do you agree with Mr. Cutler's assessment of the result in the case?
Thank you, Your Honor. Attorney's fees are for damages was the sole issue in this case. And I think the important language comes out of paragraph 25 of the lease, which stated that if the tenant breaches in any action, suit, or proceeding to collect any amount due, the prevailing party is entitled to attorney's fees. And this court in the Stern Oil case defined prevailing party as the party whose judgment is entered in their favor. And in this case, judgment was entered in Pesca Properties' favor. The judgment was not nominal. There was still a lesser amount of $55,000 that they were not compensated for the remainder of the Radco term. But under the terms of the lease agreement, the parties negotiated that if any party had to bring a suit to enforce their rights or to collect the amount due, that they would be entitled to attorney's fees.
Did anyone before the court bring up whether or not that contract provision would be subject to SDCL 1517-39's prohibition? With regard to provisions in any note, bond, mortgage, which wouldn't be applicable, or other evidence of debt that provides for payment of attorney fees is against public policy or void.
No, they didn't. And this isn't a note or a mortgage. It's the breach of a lease agreement.
Understood. It's the language, other evidence of debt.
Yes. No, Your Honor, they did not. I think that I'd like to recircle back to opposing counsel's point that Pesca Properties went back to Radco and asked for $950 a square foot, and they said no. They said the most we will pay is $843. And that shows that Pesca Properties was trying to increase the amount that they were going to pay, and they wouldn't do it. This court has said that a landlord does not have to put the tenant's rights above its own when mitigating damages. It does not.
At the time of that offer, Mr. Willis, on behalf of Northern, was still participating in the negotiations, correct?
Yes, he was, Your Honor.
After he exited the negotiations, is there anything in the record that shows similar efforts by Pesca to bring the price up?
No, when he breached in his letter to Pesca Properties stating that he was terminating and not paying anymore, he said, enter into this agreement, and then testified on the record, I did that to force them into the agreement as it stood because it was a great lease. And I think that that is extremely important here. He took affirmative steps to force Pesca Properties into this lease agreement and testified to that. And then on the back end said, but wait, I should be given a benefit because somehow you had this increase on the back end. And it's important to remember, they bear the burden of proof on that issue. So these open issues of why wouldn't Radco pay more? They could have brought Radco in. They could have subpoenaed someone to testify. They could have subpoenaed their real estate agent to come in and testify as to what Radco, if they could have, or even if they would have, paid more.
Ms. Lady, they didn't. I'm sorry, go ahead. Can I just interrupt really
quick?
So in your brief, you heard Mr. Keller's argument. He submits that this is a court trial, and what we're reviewing here at fact under a deferential clear error standard review. In your brief, you say, hey, we have questions of law here as well. And of course, you've got the damages provision set out from Title 21. The questions that are at the heart of this appeal, how are they reviewed? Is factual questions or legal questions?
Actually, we have all three standards, Your Honor. In the court's findings of fact that there wasn't mitigation, it is the clearly erroneous standard. When we are looking at the court's conclusions of law, when it comes into tri-state that lease or rent isn't the proper value of damages, we're in a de novo review because that's the law that's being applied. And in the way that the court calculated damages, it is abuse of discretion in the facts being applied to the law in this case. Inherently, the trial court's decision and its calculation of damages involved speculation, involved unanswered questions that fell upon the defendants to prove in that case. The court's clear statements that it was making this decision based upon what a mediator would do and that it was reasonable to compromise damages was its evidence that it was trying to reach a fair result and disregarded the law in South Dakota that says that we must place the aggrieved party in the same position had there been no breach. And in this case, Pesca Properties suffered a loss for was not made whole in excess of $55,000. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be in recess for 5 minutes.